Blog Talk Radio.
Bless you. Hallelujah. And good morning to everybody on the line. Good morning to you. Can you all
say? Good morning.
God bless you. Amen. And let's offer a wonderful good morning to our Lord. Good morning, Lord. Good morning, Lord.
Good morning, Lord.
Good morning, Lord.
Good morning, Lord. Good morning, Lord.
Thank you.
Good morning, Lord.
He woke us up this morning. Thank you. Start us on our way.
Yes, he did.
God
bless
you. And let's give him some more praise right now. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Lord, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Appreciate you, Lord, for even creating this day. Thank you in Jesus' name. Yes, thank God for Jesus. Who laid the foundation, who opened up the way. Glory to God.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Come on, Dr. Gillespie, Dr. Barbara Gillespie, give us a prayer this morning. Amen. In the name of thank you, Jesus.
Yes, thank you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord Jesus, for bringing us together one more time to give you some honor, glory, and praise, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, we just thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you have done and what you don't do, Lord Jesus. We thank you for bringing us another day, Lord, through another day, protecting us from the roof of our head, food on our tables, touching our bodies, Lord Jesus, from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet, Lord Jesus. Our children, Lord Jesus, we just thank you for protecting them, coming and going. And Lord Jesus, we just ask you to lead us and guide us in your will, Lord Jesus, and what you want us to do in your name. Amen, amen, amen.
Thank you so much, Dr. Gillespie. Come on, First Lady, can you give us a scripture, and anyone else who wants to give a scripture can do it. Amen.
I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee.
I will worship toward the holy temple, praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. That was the 138th division of Psalm, first and second verses.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. Someone else, before you come with the verse again, I want to ask Dr. Jeanette Murphy if you can get for me 1 Samuel, the 3rd chapter and the 5th verse, 1 Samuel 3 and 5. Amen. Does anyone else have a scripture this morning you want to read? It's all right.
Dr. Lucille Angelo, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Amen.
Beautiful. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Great. Or anyone else?
Dr. Gilbert from Chicago. Isaiah 58, verse 1. Cry aloud. Spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression in the house of Jacob their sin. That's Psalm 58, verse 1.
Beautiful. Thank you. All right. Someone else have a scripture? If so, read it. Amen. Thank you. All right, I'll tell you when. Everybody get 1 Samuel 3, verse 5. Amen. I'm going to work from there this morning. Amen. 1 Samuel 3 and 5. Thank you. Dr. Murphy, do you have that?
Yes, sir, I do.
Let me see. I think I'm in the right place. Start reading a little bit there. Can you read a little bit for me there?
Okay. 1 Samuel 3 and 5. And he ran unto Eli and said,
thank you so much.
Is that correct?
All right. Yes, ma'am.
And he ran unto Eli and said,
hold on just a minute. Hold on just a minute. Yeah, hold on just a minute. Amen. I want everybody to get it before we take off. He said 1 Samuel 3 and 5. Amen. I want to talk about something that's extremely important for God's saints in this day and time. The enemy doesn't want you to do this. But I want to just bring it to you again because God is trying his best to get us to do this. But the enemy doesn't want us to do this. I want to talk about how to recognize the real voice of the Lord, the real voice of God. Not if you're busy by the phone, you can just mute your line. Amen. Don't be a distraction. Amen. You got to grow up sometime and learn how to do things. A baby doesn't know how to do anything. They just drink milk all the time. But mature saints know how to do stuff. They hear on the static on the line and they don't realize it's coming from their phone. But a baby won't realize nothing. Amen. Get that 1 Samuel 3 and 5. Amen. Meet your line if you're having a problem. God bless you. Go ahead and read while some people are still trying to find it. Go ahead and read, Dr. Murphy.
And he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, and thou callest me.
Let me just clarify this just for a moment, if you would allow me to just clarify in Jesus' name. This is, in this text, the major person speaking in this text is God, Jehovah, and he's always the major person. And the minor persons in this text are Samuel, the prophet of God, and Eli, another prophet and man of God. Now, if some of you that on the line think that God can speak to you, here's a sign right here in this text that the Lord can really actually speak to anybody. Samuel was a young man in the Lord, a young prophet in the Lord. And God spoke to him because he wanted to use him for his glory. And he spoke to Samuel and called him and said, Samuel. And Samuel heard the voice of the Lord, but he didn't quite recognize it was the Lord. Amen. In other words, here he is, a man of God, but he messed up. Amen. And let me just say to all of us on this line, before you judge Samuel so much, before you judge him, look back over your shoulder and look back over your life before you judge him. Because even though he messed up and missed God's voice, everybody on this line has messed up. Amen. You think you have messed up, then let me tell you, the Bible tells us kind of early right now, help me, Lord. Amen, in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, for all have messed up. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then the Bible tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And then the Bible says in 1 John 1:8, if you say that you have not messed up or have not sinned, you deceive yourselves, and the truth is not in you. And then 1 John 1:10 says that you say that you have not messed up, you make God a liar, and his word is not in you. But then he gives us a ray of hope in 1 John 1:9. It says, but every person who has messed up, if you will confess to the Lord that you've messed up, he's faithful and just to forgive you of all your mess ups, all your sins, and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And here's the prophet of God, Samuel. Now, this is the same Samuel that God used to go to Jesse, who had those sons, and God was searching for a king to be over Israel. And he went, this prophet Samuel went to Jesse, and God had told him to anoint whoever he would appoint as the king of Israel. This is the same prophet. Amen. But now he missed his voice. Go ahead and read, Dr. Murphy.
And he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, but thou callest me.
Now, wait a minute. Amen. Here he missed the voice of the Lord. And he ran, let me put it on your plate. He ran to his mama. He ran to his daddy. He ran to his sister, his brother. Ran to his best friend and said, now this, I heard you call me. And what you want? You call me. I just came to see what you want. Read.
And he said, I call not. Lie down again.
And Eli, this is another man of God, but he was an older gentleman. Remember I preached to you a message called Time, and where I showed you that many times God doesn't use people until they have matured. And that is so true. He doesn't really do great things to them or through them until they have matured in Christ. Yeah, until they have grown up. He molds them and shapes them into what he wants them to be. And when they get matured, he starts using them greatly. I remember that message I brought to you called Time, and no, that message was called Age. Amen. And I showed you some of those men and women of God, some of them, before God started to use them, really in a glorious way. Of course, people live longer then, but some of them got to be 100, 200 years old, 300, 400, 500 years old. And that's when God used them the most, when they were matured in Christ. That's why I try to tell y'all, grow up. Amen. If you want the Lord to use you, grow up. Show him that you are mature in Christ. And see what the Lord use you. So Samuel here ran to the mature man in Christ, Eli. Yeah, and he said, Eli, you called me. Eli said, I didn't call you. Go and lay down again where you were laying. And let's see what happens. All right, go ahead and read.
And he went and lay down.
And Samuel went and laid down. Then go ahead and read more.
And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli. And
now hold on just a minute. Now wait a minute. He went and laid down, and the Lord called again. Now see, that disputes all of that premise or theology that has been trying to make you believe that when you mess up, it's over. No, no, no. All you have to do is get yourself together. God is so forgiving. And get yourself together and go back to the Lord. This is a man of God, Samuel, that God is using and going to use much more than he used at that time. And he messed up. He missed God's voice. And went to somebody else, Eli, and said, you called me. And God, and Eli said, I didn't call you. Go lay back down again. And then the Lord called the man again. Don't tell me that God can't forgive whenever you have disappointed him, whenever you have messed up. Don't tell me he cannot forgive again. In fact, if we go to the New Testament and cross-reference that, we hear in the spirit realm, who is it? One of the disciples, it may have been Peter, who said, in Moses' day, Moses taught that if you mess up, if you sin against your brother or your sister, then one time you'll forgive them one time if they sin, if you sin against them, or if they sin against you, one time forgive them. But what do you say, Lord? And the Lord said, I say not one time a day, but seven times a day. If they mess up on you, forgive them. See, that's why I preached that message some time ago that you don't need to ask the Lord for one more chance. Stop it. Stop doing that. Lord, give me one more chance. You messed up on me. And you say, Lord, give me one more chance. You've already had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, going up to 20, 30, 50 times. 50 more chances. You don't need to ask the Lord for one more chance ever again. You need to ask the Lord for another chance. When you go and God said, Lord, please give me another chance. Stop asking him for one more chance. You need to ask him for another chance. So here's the man of God, Samuel, that God is using. Amen. And he missed God's voice now twice. What are you talking about this morning, Chief? I'm talking about how to recognize God's real voice. He missed God's voice twice. And God, the man of God, Eli, a little older gentleman, tells him, go lay back down again. And if the voice speaks to you, go ahead and read a little bit. Tell us what it says.
And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here am I. The God didst call me. And he answered, I call not, my son. Lie down again.
And
Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Neither
mm-hmm.
was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him.
Put a pin right there. Amen. Here is Samuel, the man of God, but he's a young fella. He did not know the Lord or know the Lord's voice. Now, let me just tell you all on the line, and don't get it. Just bear with me just a moment here. If you really want to know the Lord, as the scripture says, I want to know him in the suffering of his
power
of his resurrection and the suffering. The fellowship and the suffering. I want to know him. Amen. But Samuel, as a man of God, didn't quite know him yet. He hadn't been molded and shaped. See, that's why y'all not complain about anything that the Lord is doing or anything that seems a little negative in your life. Because God uses those things to mold you and to shape you and to help you know him. Amen. Let me just say this. And the reason why somebody might marvel sometimes how sheep can hear God's voice, but you have to remember one thing. I did something that I didn't really try to do. I did something that no person as I know of on this earth has ever done. I fasted 1,000 consecutive days. In other words, I didn't break it. I fasted every day for 1,000 days. Amen. Now, nobody can fast, you know, without any food or water every day for 1,000 days. Nobody can do that. You'll die. But what I did, I fasted between 16 and 17 hours. You can do that every day for 1,000 days, because I know I did it. Amen. And that's the way I got to know the Lord. Amen. Every day, you know, fasting and praying. And then over in Matthew, the disciples tried to cast demons out of people. And then Jesus showed up, and they asked, Lord, can you be still? They asked, or just put your phone on mute. You can run down the hallway if you got your phone on mute. But they asked him, Lord, how come we did not cast the demon out of the boy? And the Lord said, because of your unbelief. And he said, however, these kind go not out, but by fasting and prayer. You're still moving. Mute your line. By fasting and prayer. And I never will forget it. He was just saying to the disciples that you got to fast and pray in order to get these tough demons out of folk. Now, on this weekend, they're going to read some of the things that the Lord has done in Amazing Grace. This will be our anniversary. And one of the things on the list is that their pastor, the Lord has used their pastor to raise two people from the dead. Amen. Dr. Eunice Daniel, the Lord uses to raise her son from the dead. And Dr. Sheila Brown, God used us to raise her daughter from the dead. But I'm going to tell you something. God does those things through fasting and prayer. Amen. And it all comes down to knowing the Lord. If you want to know him, turn your plate down. Fast sometimes. And wait on somebody to mature. You got a problem on your line, amen. Stop drinking milk. Be a mature Christian in Christ and meet your line. If you want to know the Lord, then learn how to make a sacrifice and make him more important than anything in the world. See, fasting is about this, that you show the Lord that he's more important than food. Now, that's important to all of us. But when you show him that he's more important than anything else in your life, something starts to happen. Fasting will get it. And here, the servant of God, Samuel, he had not matured in Christ, didn't quite know him as well. And every time God called him Samuel, he got up, he gets up and runs to Eli and says, you called me. Looking around the room, ain't nobody in the room but you. You had to call me, Eli. But how many know that God can walk through walls and he can speak, and nobody else in the room but him, but he can speak. Amen. So Eli says, I didn't call you, but this time when you could, when a voice calls you, go ahead and read, Dr. Mercy. He says, I didn't call
you. And the Lord called Samuel again, the third time, and he arose.
You mean to tell me? You mean to tell me that he messed up twice, and God forgave him twice, and then he messed up the third time? The Lord called him again the third time. What happened?
And he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, but thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child.
All right. Amen. I need the people on my board to just mute that person. Take them off the
line. You've been muted. To unmute
they
yourself,
I'm asking nice advice, and they don't really seem to get it at all. Just take them off the line. Amen. But go ahead and read a little bit more.
Therefore, Eli said unto Samuel, go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt speak, shall say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.
Now here's Eli. Here's Eli, a more mature person. He'd been through the storm. And he'd been through the rain. Now, learn, when you're going through the storm and the rain, stop crying. Jesus, Lord, help me, I'm going to make it. Listen, just learn to be mature in Christ. Take it. God is shaping you and molding you to take you up to a new level. Amen. Learn how God is giving and bless you, take you to a new level, if you can just learn to take it. Isaiah said, 40:31. Isaiah, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They're going to run and not be weary and walk and not faint. Yeah, learn how to go through your storms and be like Paul said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. That's the time you get strong, when you're going through your storms and everything else. So here's the man of God. He goes to the mature man of God, Eli, and Eli says, now this time when you hear the voice calling you, go back or raise your head up and look up to heaven and say, yes, Lord, thy servant heareth. And Eli tells him this, and Samuel goes back to the spot where he's trying to get some sleep. Lays back down again, and God calls him again, even though he messed up twice. He missed God's voice twice. This time, God says, I'm going to call him again, even though he didn't hear me twice when I called him. This is God. I'm still going to try him again. And God says, Samuel, Samuel. And this time, because the mature man of God had given him good advice, he looks up to heaven and says, yes, Lord, thou servant heareth. And God begins to speak to Samuel and give him a message against the man who gave him the advice, Eli. Eli had let his son mess up in the temple so bad with the women and everything else and doing things in the temple that should have been done. And God told Samuel, go to Eli and tell him, I'm going to judge him now. Amen. And I can go on and tell you the rest of the story, but that's not what I'm trying to get to. God used Samuel, even though Samuel didn't hear his voice two times, in fact, three times in a row. He had missed him. But the fourth time, he caught it. Thou servant heareth, Lord. And God spoke to him. Listen. I want to tell you something, to recognize the real voice of God. God's trying to speak to y'all on this line, even before the day, and trying to t- tell you how much he loves you. And some of you, he will tell you things in the future that's going to happen to you. I mean, blessed things that don't happen to you. And you got to be able to recognize his voice, because you mess up when you don't hear God's voice. Now, I realize that all of us miss it sometimes. I miss it sometimes. You miss it sometimes. And some people are missing it all the time. All the time. But let me tell you something. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give in. Just keep on trying. Because after a while, if you take out some time, you'll get to know him better and you'll recognize his voice. For example, I can recognize Dr. Betty's voice anywhere. But we've been married 51 years now. And then we've spent time. And then she ought to be able to recognize my voice anywhere. Amen. It's very, very important. But we've been married all these years. That's 51 years. If you give God time, you'll be able to recognize his voice too. Amen. Let me give you some major points in recognizing his voice, and then I'm through this morning. Number one, I keep preaching to y'all. Well, let me tell you why I'm saying this. I was at an anniversary the other day of a pastor in another city, and the preacher they had to bring the message got up and said these words. He said, the other day I heard a voice. It wasn't God's voice, and it wasn't the devil's voice. It was my voice. When he said that, I had the adjective to come get me and take me out. Because I knew he didn't know the word. Amen. He said it was my voice, and that voice spoke to me. And some of y'all around here, you know you're hearing your voice all the time. Got you messing up. The word tells us over in Genesis, I believe, 2 and 9, and it uses trees to get the message over to us. Because many times God uses symbols. But it tells us there are only two voices to man. That's the voice of good and the voice of evil. There are no other voices in the Bible that speaks to anybody. It's the voice of good and the voice of evil. The fight in this world is not with 3 or 4 people or 3 or 4 entities in this world. The fight in this world is the fight between good and evil. There ain't nothing else but good and evil. And there's one voice that represents good and one voice that represents evil. If you ever settle that in your mind, then you'll be on your way to recognizing God's real voice. Only two voices. Anybody who's not on mute, can you just say two voices? Somebody, just say two voices. Can you?
Two voices.
Amen. Two voices. Amen. Get that. Amen. Get it in your mind. Only two voices. I don't care who you heard preach that there's more than two voices. I don't care if it's a bishop, if it's a cardinal, whoever it is. They're wrong. The Bible is right, and somebody's wrong. There's only two voices that can really speak to anybody on this earth. And he was saying, I had a voice, and I thought, you don't have no voice. You make the choice. Choose ye this day whom you will serve, whether it be God or whether it be the devil. When you choose, you're not on that level. You're not on the level of God. You're not on the level of devil. You're just an arrogant book, a demon trying to say, I got a voice. No, you don't have no voice. You make a choice. Choose which one you're going to serve. Amen. Now somebody said, well, now, wait a minute, Dr. Johnson. Didn't the Bible say a man named Legion, he was hearing thousands of voices. Maybe indeed. I don't know what he heard. But I'll tell you one thing, that he really just heard one voice. What was it? The voice of the devil. And the enemy can change his voice to be 1,000 voices. But don't let him fool you and hoodwink you. It's still his voice trying to speak to you. He'll try to imitate anybody's voice and change and make you think. See, the reason why the enemy doesn't want y'all to accept there are only two voices if you have not accepted it. The reason why he's trying to get you not to accept it, because it reveals him. He tries to work incognito.
He wants you to think, not to see him working. He doesn't want you to know him. He's working. He doesn't want it because he knows if the saints knows it's him, you'll probably go the other way. You'll hear the other voice. But there are only two voices. Get that, and I'm almost finishing this morning. When you get that, there are only two voices, then let me get somebody to stand up, two people to stand up. Dr. Mercy, you just imagine in y'all's mind, she's standing over here, and Bishop Stern is standing over here. Amen. Two voices. Amen. Dr. Mercy is saying something, and Bishop Stern is saying something. Two voices. Now, that's the first point. There are only two voices that are going to speak to you. Get that in your mind so the devil won't make you err over here and over there. Only two voices. But now the second principle is this. If it's not Dr. Murphy, if it's not Dr. Murphy, it's got to be Bishop Stern. Or if it's not Bishop Stern, it's got to be Dr. Murphy. It's only two voices. So the second principle is this, 50-50. If it's not Bishop Stern, it's got to be Dr. Murphy speaking. It ain't nobody else. Just two voices that's going to affect your life. The fight between good and evil. The voice of good will come to you and say something, and then that voice of evil will come to negate everything that the voice of good said to you. Yeah. So it's a 50-50. Listen, if it's not God speaking to you, it's the enemy speaking. That's how your chief gets it so quickly many times. I know if it ain't God speaking to me, it has to be the devil. If it's not the devil speaking to me, it has to be God. Only two voices. If you get that straight, you're on your way to try to recognize God's real voice. That's the second point. 50-50 is the second point. First point is the only two voices. Second point, 50-50. If it's not God, it has to be the devil. The third point is this. God's word and God's voice will always agree. God's not going to say anything to you that the word does not agree with. He's not going to do it because that will make him a liar. So if somebody is telling you a lie, the word is not going to agree with it because the word says, thou shalt not lie. So you know it can't be the truth. If you know they're telling a lie, it's not God speaking to them. It must be the enemy. If somebody is trying to tell you, oh, it's all right to go to Walmart and if you ain't got no money and to steal what you need, that's not God's voice because the word is against you. The word says, thou shalt not steal. If somebody is trying to bad mouth you and say all kind of evil things against you, you know that couldn't be the Lord talking to them. Because the word says, thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. You got to know the word. If the word says anything against what's happening, then you know it couldn't be the voice of the Lord. It has to be the voice of the devil. The voice of the enemy, I'll just use that. The voice of the enemy. Amen. Just throwing a side thing, so we can understand a little bit better. I was looking at the news, and I saw how, they pulled the troops out of Afghanistan, and all the Republicans are hitting President Biden. They've just been waiting to hit him. They're hitting him like crazy everywhere. But you know what? I didn't even worry about that because I knew the word. And I knew that the word says in Psalms 41, and verse 1, 2, and 3, if I remember that correctly, I'm not looking at it right now, but the word tells us that blessed is he who considereth the poor. Now, what did President Biden do in the last few months? He considered the poor. He gave that package, got that package through without the Republicans, without anybody. Basically, he got it through and gave $2 trillion to the poor people around the world, but nobody has ever done that before. And not only that, he's done a lot of other things to help the poor people. For example, the poor countries around the world don't have enough or sufficient amount of vaccine against the coronavirus. He gave 100 million doses of the vaccine to these poor countries. And I knew that regardless of what happens in Afghanistan, whether he's right or wrong, I'm not trying to get into politics, but I knew this one thing, that the Bible says, I know that President Biden right now is in trouble with a lot of people around in the other parties, amen. But I knew that the Bible says, blessed is he who considereth the poor. And the Bible says after that, that the Lord will deliver him in the time of trouble. Now, the Bible can't be no lie. So I didn't even let it faze me about what's going on now because I knew that the Bible stands behind him. The man is considered the poor. And God said he's going to deliver anybody who considers the poor in the time of trouble. Well, I knew God's voice because God's word and God's voice were saying he's going to deliver him in the time of trouble. Then it goes on to say that he's going to keep him alive. Amen. And he's going to deliver him on his bed of languishing. That means if he ever gets fever. Don't let them tell you he's too old to be pregnant because the Bible says if he ever gets on the bed of languishing, gets too feeble, God says he's going to bless him and he's going to raise him up. Then the Lord says this in that same passage. He says, in other words, God is not going to deliver him into the will of his enemies. Now he got enemies all around him, everywhere, talking this, talking that. But God says he's not going to deliver him into the will of his enemies. They're not going to be able to overcome him to their will. They're not going to be able to do it because they would make the Bible a lie. And the Bible is not going to be a lie. And God, they would make God a lie because God is the one who wrote the Bible. And they're not going to make God a lie. The man considered the poor. Let's pray for him and ask God to keep blessing the man. And he will. Amen, because the word is behind it. He's not going to deliver him to the will of his enemy. The word says it. That's the third point. What's the first point? Only two voices who can speak to you. Good or evil? Amen. Don't let the evil possess your mind because he's trying to find a place to live. When he got kicked out of heaven, the evil one, the devil, didn't have a place to live. Still here the earth, and he's been trying to find a place to live ever since then. But don't let the evil live in your mind. There are only two voices that don't speak to you, good or evil. Secondly, the 50-50 principle. If it's not the voice of good, it's the voice of evil. No ifs and ands. The third principle, God's word and God's voice will always agree. If God's word stands against it, that's God's voice standing against it. If the word comes against it, you know it can't be God speaking. It has to be the enemy speaking. I was walking in front of my church. I told y'all this several times. And I heard a voice in my mind, spoke to my mind, and said, son, I'm going to make many millionaires here at Amazing Grace. I haven't got off of it because I knew that the enemy, the devil, doesn't want to make millionaires out of God's people anywhere because he doesn't want to lose ground. They will help the kingdom of God if God makes them millionaires and not the kingdom of devil. I knew it had to be the voice of the Lord that said that to me because the devil doesn't want to make one person a millionaire who loves the Lord. He doesn't want to do that. And I asked God to extend it to this line here, the first fruits line, and God said he would. He's going to make many millionaires at Amazing Grace. He's going to make many millionaires on this line right here. I'm going to be surrounded by millionaires at my church and surrounded by millionaires on this line right here. This is going to be the richest line in the world in the name of Jesus. people come to this line with a problem, and y'all be standing in line to try to help them because you're millionaires, all of you. Yeah, be a lot of them on this line right here. Well, how did I know it was the voice of God speaking to me? I knew it because the enemy doesn't speak like that. He's not going to try to bless God's people. He's not going to do it. God blesses his people. Look to the word, and the word tells you. I got to close here. Yeah, I know I'm out of time. I got about 2 or 3 minutes. But let me tell you this. Number one, there are only two voices that can speak to you, good or evil. That's the fight in the world. Good speaks and evil fights against it. Okay? If there's only two voices, not if, but there are only two voices, the second principle is this. 50-50. If it's not the voice of good speaking to you, it has to be the voice of evil. Ain't but two voices. If it's not God speaking to you, it has to be the voice of the enemy. Third principle. If God's speaking to you, then his word will back it up because he's not going to go against his word. God's word and God's voice will always, not sometimes, they will always agree. Every time he's going to agree with his word because he wrote the Bible, he's going to speak what he wrote. He's not going against it. The fourth principle is learn to ask questions. If I close with that. Yeah. It's good sometimes to just be nosy and ask questions. Amen. It kind of reminded me of Steve Urkel. Y'all know Steve Urkel on television. And he has a famous saying, and only one saying that he uses most normally. Famous saying, what is it? He says, did I do that? Did I do that? Well, I want to just tell you, on that fourth principle, ask questions. Amen. You don't have to say, do it. Did I do that? No, change it and ask, God, did you say that? Ask the Lord, did he say it? Did you say that? See, something that is so out of what Christians think, you can just rationalize in your mind, but ask the Lord, Lord, did you say that? And I guarantee you, he'll answer you in your spirit mind, in your spirit, and tell you whether or not he said it or not. Many times I hear his voice, and I'll ask him, Lord, did you say that, or was it the enemy? And when I rationalize what the enemy tries to do, knowing what he is and what he tries to do, I knew that God didn't say that. It had to be the enemy. Just like I rationalized when I heard the voice saying, I'm going to make many millionaires at Amazing Grace. I knew that it had to be the Lord that said that because his word backs it up. He reigns on the just as well as the unjust, and his word tells us that he will take from the wicked and give it to the righteous. Amen. He's going to bless us. Amen. Then the blessings of the Lord make it rich and added no sorrow with it. The word backs all that up. Amen. I knew that it had to be the Lord that spoke to me and not the enemy, because the enemy doesn't want to make God's people wealthy. He's the one who tries to hold God's people down to make you think that you can't ever have nothing and be nothing and do nothing and go nowhere. He's the one that works the negativity against you, not God. That's the negative voice, and that's where I'm closing today. God bless you. I'm out of time. But when I come back on Wednesday, I'm going to deal with the fourth principle. That is, learn to recognize not just God's voice, but learn to recognize the devil's voice, the enemy's voice. If you know his voice, it will help you know God's voice. If you know his voice, he said this, you know, that God goes against totally everything that the enemy says. So I'll talk about that on Wednesday. The Lord bless you and keep you. Amen. Dr. Cullins, if you're on the line, I want you to give us a scripture. We're reading the Bible all the way through. Tell us where we are now, what to read now. Amen. Dr. Cummings, are you there? All right. God bless you. We've moved to Jeremiah, I believe.
I think the lines are still muted.
Unmute the line, if you would, now.
Yes, sir. I'm here. I'm here. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. I was muted. We're in the book of Jeremiah, and we're reading chapters 7 through 10 on today.
Okay, Jeremiah 7 through 10. That's
yes,
where we are, reading the Bible all the way through. Okay, let me see if Dr. Benita Fries and with the All Night Shut-In. Are you on mute?
All Night Shut-In is Wednesday, which is next week, the 25th. And it starts at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, which is the same as 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And if you would like to minister, call me at 616-531-4940. Thank you.
Now, is that the voice of the devil that asks you to call and minister on an all-night shut-in for the Lord? And the Lord and the Lord, is that the voice of the enemy told you, oh, you're too busy? Is that the voice of the Lord that said that, or the voice of the enemy?
The voice of the enemy.
Yeah, that's the voice of the enemy. He doesn't want you to do anything that will bless you. See, a lot of times your eyes are on the wall right there. You can't see past it. You can't see past it. But the Lord is past the wall. And I hope you understand what I'm saying. He's past that, and he's trying to bless your socks off. But you can't get the blessing because you obey the enemy and not God. But if you ever get past that, things will open up like you've never seen before. You'll start being more blessed financially and everything else. You feel like you can't take no time to really do stuff for the Lord because you're too busy worshiping the devil. In other words, man, well, let me just give you an example. I even hit my daughter the other day. She walked into church real late, almost at the end of the service. I know, and I had said, I know people have emergencies, and she got 3 or 4 children. Yeah, she got 4. And I know people have emergencies, but you can't do that every Sunday. Yeah, you don't have an emergency every Sunday. And so the Holy Ghost had me to hit her when she walked in. And I said, Lemitra, I said, the Lord told me to tell you, stop honoring man above him. He's the one who gave you your health and strength to make it and to be able to work. I said, but you can be at work on time for the white folk. You can honor them and be at work on time for the white folk. But you can't honor God enough to get up an hour early and be at church on time. See, you honor man above God. My wife will tell you I hit her. But she's been doing better ever since. And then I went to her at the end of the service. I said, now let me ask you something. Did the Lord speak to me, or was that the devil that told you that you honor man above him? And she had to admit it. She said, that's the Lord. The Lord spoke to you and told me to tell you that. Tell me that. And I'm telling y'all, some voice is speaking to y'all, telling y'all that you don't have time, that you can't get up, that you're too sleepy to be a part of the all-night shut-in. I'm not asking you to be there all night long. You can just be there your 15 minutes. Yeah, man, you want to have 15 minutes of fame, why don't you take 15 minutes for the Lord? Amen. And be on the all-night shut-in. Give the number again, just Dr. Bridia Fries. Come on. All right, her number is 616-531-4940. 616-531-4940. Call her and get you a time to be a part of the all-night shut-in. God will do more for you when he sees that you're doing more for him. Ooh. Oh, my God. You got to remember that. God will do more for you when he sees that you're doing more for him. Amen. Be a part of that and see won't God even bless you more. that bless you amount of time today. And then I can use the blessing. I'm trying to do so much for the Lord. I really am. And take money many times to do it. Dr. Hagen, if you're on the line, or if you come off and mute and tell them how they can be a blessing to our ministry. I'm taught them a wonderful lesson and blessed them. And then hopefully somebody will want to bless our ministry too. And then are you there, Dr. Hagen? All right. Let me just give you my own information. You want to be a blessing.